Introduction. The therapeutic relationship is a cornerstone of effective therapy, often outweighing the specific techniques or methods employed by the therapist. Research consistently shows that the quality of the connection between therapist and client plays a more significant role in therapeutic outcomes than the chosen modality or intervention. This relationship, sometimes referred to as the therapeutic alliance, is founded on trust, empathy, and a shared commitment to achieving the client's goals. Notably, some practitioners argue that the therapeutic relationship itself should be considered an evidence-based practice, reflecting its profound influence on clinical success. However, despite its critical role, this dimension often receives less emphasis in therapy manuals and training programs, which tend to focus on techniques rather than interpersonal dynamics. Historically, the focus on technique over relationship has shaped the training and practice of many therapists. Therapy manuals, for instance, often prioritize a how-to approach, emphasizing structured interventions designed to address specific symptoms or conditions. While these techniques are undoubtedly valuable, they can sometimes overshadow the importance of the relational context in which therapy occurs. A therapist who operates solely as a technician risks neglecting the human connection that fosters healing and growth. Clients often seek more than solutions to their problems. They seek understanding, validation, and a sense of being genuinely cared for. The absence of these relational elements can lead to a mechanical, impersonal therapeutic experience, ultimately reducing the potential for meaningful change. The emphasis on evidence-based practices in recent decades has further fueled the debate about the role of the therapeutic relationship. While evidence-based treatments have revolutionized mental health care by providing structured, replicable interventions, they have also drawn criticism for underestimating the relational aspect of therapy. Some scholars and practitioners advocate for a more balanced approach, where the therapeutic relationship is studied and validated with the same rigor as specific techniques. This shift would acknowledge that the therapist's ability to form a strong, collaborative bond with the client is not merely a background factor, but a central determinant of therapy's success. Moreover, the therapeutic relationship is not static, but evolves. It begins with the first contact between therapist and client and continues to develop through each interaction. Early in the process, the therapist's ability to establish rapport and demonstrate empathy lays the foundation for trust. As therapy progresses, this relationship deepens, with both parties contributing to its strength. The client's active engagement, combined with the therapist's consistent support and attunement, creates a dynamic partnership. This evolution underscores the importance of therapists remaining attentive and responsive, adapting their approach as the client's needs and circumstances evolve. Importance of the therapeutic relationship. The therapeutic relationship is not merely a facilitator of therapy, but is often the therapy itself. Studies have repeatedly shown that the relationship accounts for a significant proportion of the variance in therapy outcomes, sometimes exceeding the effects of specific techniques or interventions. Clients who feel understood, supported, and valued by their therapist are more likely to engage fully in the therapeutic process, leading to better outcomes. This dynamic underscores the relational nature of human change, where the quality of interpersonal interactions serves as the vehicle for transformation. For many clients, the therapist may be one of the few individuals in their lives offering undivided attention and genuine concern, making this relationship uniquely impactful. One of the most compelling aspects of the therapeutic relationship is its capacity to empower clients. Through a strong alliance, clients can develop a sense of agency and self-efficacy, recognizing their ability to influence their circumstances and achieve their goals. This empowerment arises from the collaborative nature of the relationship, where the therapist does not assume the role of an authority figure, but instead acts as a partner and guide. By respecting the client's autonomy and perspectives, the therapist creates an environment where the client feels safe to explore, take risks, and grow. This dynamic partnership fosters resilience and self-discovery, enabling clients to build on their strengths and overcome challenges. Furthermore, the therapeutic relationship is a corrective emotional experience for many clients. For individuals who have experienced relational trauma or neglect, the consistent, supportive presence of a therapist can provide a new template for healthy relationships. This process involves the therapist modeling constructive ways of relating, such as setting boundaries, expressing empathy, and demonstrating reliability. Over time, clients internalize these relational patterns, which can transform their interactions outside of therapy. The therapeutic relationship thus extends its influence beyond the therapy room, contributing to lasting improvements in clients' personal and social functioning. Finally, the importance of the therapeutic relationship is reflected in its universal applicability across therapeutic modalities. Whether the approach is psychodynamic, cognitive behavioral, or humanistic, the relationship remains a central factor in achieving positive outcomes. This universality suggests that the therapeutic relationship taps into fundamental aspects of human nature, such as the need for connection and validation. Therapists who prioritize this relationship, regardless of their theoretical orientation, are likelier to foster meaningful and lasting change in their clients. Culture-specific perspectives. Therapeutic approaches often reflect the cultural norms and values of the society in which they were developed. In North American and Western European contexts, psychotherapy traditionally emphasizes open communication, introspection, and emotional expression as pathways to insight and healing. These practices align with cultural values prioritizing individualism, self-expression, and personal autonomy. Clients are encouraged to openly share their thoughts and feelings, confront challenges directly, and take responsibility for their own growth. However, these norms can inadvertently alienate clients from non-Western cultures, where values such as collectivism, respect for authority, and emotional restraint often hold greater importance. For example, in many Asian, Middle Eastern, and African cultures, openly discussing personal difficulties may be viewed as inappropriate or even shameful, as it risks disrupting family harmony or exposing vulnerability. The potential for cultural mismatch in therapy highlights the importance of cultural competence among therapists. Cultural competence involves more than just an intellectual understanding of diverse traditions. It requires an honest interest in, genuine sensitivity to, and respect for the client's lived experience. Therapists must recognize how cultural norms shape clients' expectations of therapy, their comfort with self-disclosure, and their interpretation of the therapeutic process. For instance, a client from a collectivist culture may view therapy as an opportunity to address relational concerns rather than individual problems, emphasizing family dynamics or community responsibilities. Understanding and adapting to these cultural frameworks can strengthen the therapeutic alliance and enhance outcomes. Language and nonverbal communication can also present barriers or opportunities in culturally diverse therapeutic settings. Therapists must know how verbal expressions, gestures, and tone may carry different meanings across cultures. For example, while maintaining eye contact is often considered a sign of trust and engagement in Western cultures, it may be interpreted as disrespectful or confrontational in others. Similarly, how a client expresses emotional distress through words, physical complaints, or silence can reflect deeply ingrained cultural norms. By attuning to these nuances, therapists can create a therapeutic environment that feels respectful and affirming to clients from diverse backgrounds. Failing to address cultural differences in therapy can lead to what some scholars call cultural malpractice. This occurs when therapists impose their cultural assumptions on clients, either by dismissing cultural norms or by pathologizing culturally normative behaviors. For example, labeling a client's preference for indirect communication as avoidant or defensive reflects a lack of cultural awareness and risks undermining the therapeutic relationship. To avoid this, therapists should adopt a stance of cultural humility, remaining open to learning from clients and viewing their cultural identities as strengths rather than obstacles. Cultural sensitivity in practice. Cultural sensitivity is not a static skill, but an ongoing process of reflection, education, and adaptation. Therapists who cultivate cultural sensitivity actively seek to understand how their cultural identities and biases may influence their perceptions and interactions with clients. For instance, a therapist who values independence and assertiveness may unconsciously encourage these traits in a client whose cultural background prioritizes interdependence and modesty. By examining these biases and striving to set them aside, therapists can better align their interventions with clients' cultural values and goals. Creating a culturally sensitive therapeutic environment begins with the initial stages of therapy, including client orientation and assessment. As the therapist introduces concepts about neurofeedback training, they should actively solicit feedback from the client about how they view such ideas and how their social or cultural background may be important. The therapist can also inform the client that their cultural background can be an important influence on how the training unfolds, and then ask the client to describe what aspect of their background is most important for the therapist to understand. This can open doors to discussing cultural influences as training progresses. During these early interactions, therapists should demonstrate their respect for the client's cultural background and invite the client to share any concerns or preferences related to therapy. Simple gestures, such as asking how the client prefers to be addressed or inquiring about their expectations of therapy, can go a long way in establishing trust. Additionally, therapists should be mindful of how routine procedures, such as obtaining informed consent or explaining treatment plans, might need to be adjusted to account for cultural differences. For example, some clients may feel more comfortable involving family members in decision-making, reflecting a collectivist approach to health and wellness. Cultural sensitivity also extends to the practical aspects of therapy, such as the physical environment and the delivery of interventions. Therapists can enhance clients' comfort by creating a space that reflects cultural inclusivity, such as displaying artwork or literature from diverse traditions. Moreover, interventions should be tailored to the client's cultural preferences and values. For example, a therapist working with a client from a culture that values spiritual practices might incorporate mindfulness or prayer into the therapeutic process. These adaptations demonstrate respect for the client's identity and increase the therapy's relevance and effectiveness. Finally, therapists must be prepared to address and navigate cultural misunderstandings that may arise during therapy. These moments, though challenging, can serve as opportunities for growth and connection. For instance, if a client perceives a therapist's behavior as insensitive or offensive, the therapist should respond with humility and a willingness to listen. By acknowledging their mistake and seeking to understand the client's perspective, the therapist can repair the relationship and demonstrate their commitment to cultural sensitivity. Such moments reinforce the importance of viewing therapy as a collaborative process where both client and therapist contribute to the work of healing. Therapeutic alliance in neurofeedback. In neurofeedback, the therapeutic alliance is as critical to success as it is in traditional psychotherapy. It serves as the foundation for effective training, ensuring that clients feel supported and understood as they navigate the often complex process of learning self-regulation. Defined as a trusting and collaborative partnership between the therapist and client, the alliance plays a crucial role in helping the client achieve their goals, such as improving focus, managing anxiety, or enhancing performance. There is considerable evidence to suggest that the quality of the therapeutic alliance may influence the response to neurofeedback. Building this relationship begins with the therapist's ability to listen actively and empathetically, ensuring clients feel their concerns and objectives are fully understood. This is particularly important in neurofeedback, where the reliance on technology can sometimes make the process feel impersonal without the therapist's relational grounding. In the context of neurofeedback, the shared objectives between the therapist and client become even more significant. Clients must understand how the neurofeedback process aligns with their concerns and goals, including the assessment, training sessions, and feedback mechanisms. This requires therapists to communicate the rationale behind each step, such as why certain brainwave frequencies are being targeted or how reinforcement strategies are used to shape desired patterns of neural activity. When clients see the relevance of these activities to their real-life challenges, they are more likely to engage actively in the process. This collaboration transforms neurofeedback from a technical procedure into a partnership aimed at achieving meaningful change. The therapist's role in neurofeedback extends beyond facilitating the technology. Their demeanor and interpersonal skills significantly influence the client's experience. Clients tend to respond more positively to therapists who are warm, relatable, and approachable. In neurofeedback, where clients may initially feel apprehensive about unfamiliar equipment and procedures, the therapist's ability to create a welcoming and non-judgmental atmosphere can make a substantial difference. Studies, such as Taub and Schools, 1978, research on biofeedback highlight the importance of interpersonal warmth. Trainers who adopted a friendly, informal approach had markedly higher success rates than those who were formal and detached. This finding underscores that the human connection remains central to success, even in technology-driven therapies like neurofeedback. Importantly, the therapeutic alliance in neurofeedback evolves over time, mirroring the client's progress. Early sessions might focus on building rapport and setting goals, while later phases require more nuanced support as clients refine their self-regulation skills. For instance, as clients begin to observe improvements in their EEG patterns or symptom relief, the therapist can use these successes to reinforce motivation and foster a sense of accomplishment. Conversely, when clients encounter challenges, such as difficulty maintaining focus during training, the therapist's encouragement and troubleshooting can help sustain engagement. This adaptability reflects the reciprocal nature of the alliance, where both therapist and client contribute to its ongoing development and effectiveness. Importance of client perspective in neurofeedback. In neurofeedback, the client's perspective is particularly important as their engagement and understanding directly influence the effectiveness of training. Unlike traditional talk therapy, neurofeedback requires clients to monitor and shape their brain activity actively, making their perception of the process a crucial factor in its success. Clients who feel that the therapeutic relationship is supportive and collaborative are more likely to remain motivated and committed, even when faced with the challenges inherent in learning self-regulation. This is especially true for clients new to neurofeedback, who may initially struggle to connect their brainwave data with their subjective experiences. Client preferences often center on the therapist's ability to create a safe and encouraging environment. Like traditional therapy, neurofeedback clients value warmth, empathy, and relatability in their therapists. These qualities are particularly important when clients face frustration, such as when progress feels slow or when they struggle to achieve their training goals. Taub and Schools, 1978, findings on the person effect in biofeedback training illustrate this dynamic. Trainers who fostered a friendly, supportive environment achieved significantly higher success rates, suggesting that interpersonal warmth also enhances the neurofeedback learning process. The reciprocal nature of the therapeutic alliance is also evident in neurofeedback. As clients begin to see the tangible results of their efforts, whether through improvements in their EEG patterns or symptom relief, they are more likely to trust the process and deepen their commitment to it. This, in turn, motivates therapists to provide tailored support and encouragement, creating a positive feedback loop. For example, when clients maintain a specific brainwave state, therapists can use this success to build confidence and reinforce the connection between the client's efforts and their outcomes. Regularly seeking client feedback is another critical aspect of maintaining a strong therapeutic alliance in neurofeedback. Checking in with clients about their experience of the training sessions, the relevance of the feedback provided, and their overall satisfaction with the process allows therapists to make necessary adjustments. This could involve tailoring reinforcement strategies, modifying session goals, or even addressing clients' discomfort or uncertainty about the equipment. By prioritizing the client's perspective, therapists can ensure that the neurofeedback process remains effective and client-centered. The interpersonal dynamics of neurofeedback. Interpersonal dynamics play a central role in the success of neurofeedback, shaping how clients engage with the process and respond to its challenges. Although neurofeedback is often perceived as a technologically driven intervention, the relational aspects of therapy remain crucial. Camilla's observation in biofeedback training that a significant portion of learning is biosocial applies directly to neurofeedback. The quality of the interaction between therapist and client can often determine the success of the intervention, underscoring the need for therapists to strike a balance between technical expertise and relational attunement. Empathy and validation are particularly important in neurofeedback, as clients often bring unique concerns or anxieties. For example, a client with performance anxiety may feel discouraged if they struggle to achieve specific brainwave targets during training. In these moments, the therapist must acknowledge the client's feelings and affirm their efforts. Validation helps clients feel supported and encourages them to persist, even when training is difficult. This approach transforms potential setbacks into opportunities for growth, thereby strengthening the overall alliance. The therapist's interpersonal style also significantly impacts the dynamics of neurofeedback. An approachable and personable therapist can help demystify the equipment and procedures, reducing the client's apprehension. Conversely, a rigid or impersonal approach may create distance and undermine the client's trust. Research on the person effect highlights the importance of relational warmth, demonstrating that trainers who adopt a friendly and engaging approach achieve better outcomes. This relational connection is particularly valuable in neurofeedback, where clients often rely on their therapist to interpret complex data and guide their progress. Finally, the interpersonal dynamics of neurofeedback are inherently reciprocal. As clients observe improvements in their brainwave activity or experience symptom relief, their enthusiasm and trust in the process grow. This positive feedback can energize therapists, encouraging them to invest more deeply in the client's success. Similarly, therapists who demonstrate genuine care and encouragement inspire greater client engagement. This mutual influence reinforces the collaborative essence of the therapeutic alliance, ensuring that the neurofeedback process remains a shared journey of growth and learning. Therapists should be credible models. In neurofeedback training, therapists act as role models, both intentionally and unintentionally, influencing clients' learning and engagement. The therapist's behavior, demeanor, and mastery of self-regulation significantly shape the client's perception of the process and their willingness to invest in it. Credibility as a model is essential. Clients are more likely to trust and emulate therapists who visibly practice the skills they teach. For example, a therapist teaching relaxation techniques through neurofeedback must exhibit a calm and composed presence, as this reinforces the efficacy of their methods. Conversely, a stressed or disengaged therapist might inadvertently undermine the client's confidence in the training. Therapists must also engage in personal self-regulation training to enhance their credibility and trustworthiness. This involves developing an acute awareness of their psychophysiological responses, such as muscle tension, breath holding, or cold hands, which might unconsciously influence client interactions. By practicing the same neurofeedback techniques they teach, therapists can gain a deeper understanding of their clients' challenges and effectively demonstrate the practical application of these skills. For example, a neurofeedback practitioner might use biofeedback to warm their hands during winter sessions, demonstrating their ability to regulate stress-related physiological responses effectively. Such visible demonstrations of self-regulation inspire trust and encourage clients to persist in their training. Covert modeling is another critical aspect of the therapist's role. This form of modeling operates subconsciously, influencing clients through subtle cues rather than explicit instruction. For instance, a therapist who consistently exhibits steady breathing and relaxed posture during sessions creates an environment that encourages similar responses from the client. However, this unconscious influence also means that therapists must remain vigilant about their own habits. Dysregulated behaviors, such as fidgeting or speaking rapidly, can inadvertently convey anxiety or impatience, undermining the client's progress. Awareness and intentionality in modeling ensure that therapists contribute positively to the client's learning experience. Finally, therapists as credible models extend beyond neurofeedback techniques to encompass broader professional behavior. Clients often view therapists as authorities on self-regulation and mental health, so therapists must embody the principles they advocate. This includes maintaining professionalism, demonstrating empathy, and fostering a supportive environment. By aligning their actions with the goals of neurofeedback training, therapists reinforce the validity of the process and motivate clients to adopt similar strategies in their own lives. In doing so, they enhance the therapeutic alliance and facilitate more meaningful and lasting change. Therapists should be good personal trainers. In neurofeedback training, therapists are not merely facilitators of technology, but also act as personal trainers, guiding clients towards self-regulation and optimal brain function. This role requires a systematic and personalized approach to teaching new skills, including clear goal setting, effective modeling, immediate feedback, and appropriate reinforcement. A skilled neurofeedback therapist knows that the learning process extends beyond the equipment, incorporating strategies to help clients develop the focus and persistence necessary for success. For instance, therapists may explain the importance of gradual progress, emphasizing that changes in neural activity often require sustained practice and effort. A foundational principle of good personal training in neurofeedback is the need for specificity. Improvement is most pronounced when the training aligns closely with the desired outcomes. For example, if a client's goal is to enhance focus, the therapist might design a protocol that targets increasing SMR, sensorimotor rhythm, activity while reducing theta waves associated with distractibility. This principle, known as specific adaptation to imposed demands, SAID, underscores the importance of tailoring interventions to the client's unique needs and goals. By explaining this rationale to clients, therapists can help them understand the purpose of each session and maintain motivation. Individualization is another cornerstone of effective neurofeedback training. Learning curves and responses to interventions vary widely among clients, making it essential for therapists to adapt their approach to each individual. Some clients may quickly grasp self-regulation skills, while others require additional support and modifications. For instance, a high responder might benefit from increased challenge levels, whereas a low responder may need simpler tasks or a slower pace. Personalizing training improves outcomes and fosters collaboration and trust as clients see that their therapist is attuned to their specific needs and progress. Finally, successful neurofeedback therapists incorporate principles of overload and progression into their training plans. Clients must be challenged appropriately to promote adaptation and avoid stagnation. This might involve gradually tightening reward thresholds or introducing new tasks as the client's skills improve. At the same time, therapists must avoid overwhelming clients with excessive demands, as this can lead to frustration or burnout. Striking the right balance ensures that clients remain engaged and continue to progress, reinforcing their belief in the efficacy of neurofeedback and their capacity for growth. Principles of effective training. Specificity. The principle of specificity is central to neurofeedback training, emphasizing that improvement is directly tied to the specific skills and neural pathways targeted. This concept, often referred to as the SAID principle, specific adaptation to imposed demands, emphasizes the idea that we get good at what we do. In neurofeedback, protocols and reinforcement strategies must be carefully aligned with the client's goals and challenges. For example, training designed to reduce anxiety might focus on enhancing alpha activity in specific brain regions. At the same time, protocols for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, might target increasing low beta activity and reducing theta waves. Tailoring interventions ensures that the neural adaptations fostered during training are relevant to the client's desired outcomes. The specificity principle also underscores the importance of accurate assessment at the outset of neurofeedback training. A thorough evaluation, including EEG or QEG data and a detailed health and behavioral history, provides the foundation for designing effective protocols. For instance, identifying patterns of dysregulated brain activity, such as excessively high beta waves linked to hyperarousal, enables therapists to create targeted interventions. Without this precision, the training might yield generalized improvements that do not address the client's core concerns. Specificity ensures that the time and effort invested in neurofeedback lead to meaningful and measurable changes. Moreover, specificity is not limited to the choice of brainwave frequencies. It also extends to the context and feedback mechanisms used during training. For instance, clients may practice relaxation by learning to reduce muscle tension or heart rate variability, HRV, before engaging in neurofeedback sessions focused on alpha enhancement. These preparatory exercises complement the primary training and improve its efficacy. By incorporating tasks that mimic real-world scenarios or address the specific demands of the client's environment, therapists can enhance the relevance and transferability of skills learned in sessions. Finally, specificity highlights the importance of monitoring progress and adjusting the training protocol as needed. Clients may experience shifts in brain activity over time, requiring modifications to maintain alignment with their goals. For instance, a client who initially struggles with downtraining high beta waves may benefit from gradually reducing thresholds, while advanced clients might require more challenging feedback settings. This ongoing calibration ensures that the training remains focused and effective, ultimately maximizing the benefits of neurofeedback. Individualization. The principle of individualization in neurofeedback recognizes that no two clients are alike in their responses to training. Each client brings a unique set of factors influencing their progress and outcomes, including their neurological profile, psychological history, and learning style. High responders may quickly adapt to self-regulation tasks, while low responders may require more time, encouragement, or alternative approaches to achieve similar results. For example, a client with significant anxiety may initially struggle to reduce high beta activity, but could benefit from incorporating relaxation techniques or mindfulness practices alongside neurofeedback. Therapists must assess and adapt to these individual differences to optimize the training process. Individualization also involves understanding how external factors, such as medications, lifestyle, and prior experiences with self-regulation, affect the client's performance. For instance, a client taking psychostimulants might exhibit heightened beta activity, necessitating adjustments in feedback thresholds or reinforcement schedules. Similarly, a client with prior biofeedback experience may progress more quickly in neurofeedback, allowing the therapist to introduce advanced tasks earlier in the training. By tailoring protocols to these variables, therapists can create a more personalized and effective training experience. Individualization becomes even more critical in addressing cases where progress stalls or unexpected reactions occur. For example, a client experiencing increased anxiety after downtraining fast beta may need a reassessment of their protocol to ensure it aligns with their needs. This might involve shifting the focus to a different brainwave frequency, incorporating additional support strategies, or exploring potential external stressors influencing the client's response. Such flexibility ensures that the training remains client-centered and adaptive to changing circumstances. Finally, individualization fosters a stronger therapeutic alliance by demonstrating that the therapist is attuned to the client's unique needs. When clients see that their therapist is invested in their success and willing to make adjustments to support their progress, they are more likely to engage fully in the process. This collaborative approach enhances the effectiveness of neurofeedback and empowers clients to take ownership of their self-regulation journey. Overload. The principle of overload in neurofeedback emphasizes the importance of challenging clients in a way that promotes positive adaptation. Like physical training, where muscles grow stronger in response to stress, the brain requires a certain level of challenge to foster neuroplasticity and learning. In neurofeedback, this challenge is created by setting thresholds that clients must achieve to receive feedback. For instance, a client working on increasing SMR activity may initially succeed with a relatively low threshold, but will need progressively higher thresholds to continue improving. This optimal overload concept ensures that the brain remains engaged in the training process. However, the application of overload must be carefully managed to avoid negative adaptation, such as frustration or burnout. Excessive stress or insufficient recovery time between sessions can hinder learning and reduce motivation. For example, a client struggling to meet overly stringent thresholds may feel discouraged and disengaged from the training. Therapists can prevent this by closely monitoring client performance and adjusting thresholds to strike a balance between challenge and achievability. This ensures that clients remain motivated and experience a sense of accomplishment as they progress through their training. Overload also involves introducing new challenges as clients become proficient in existing tasks. For instance, once a client consistently meets thresholds for reducing theta waves, the therapist might incorporate dual task scenarios, such as performing neurofeedback while solving a cognitive puzzle. These added complexities mimic real-life situations, enhancing the generalization of skills learned in training. Gradually increasing the difficulty of tasks not only keeps clients engaged, but also ensures that their progress continues over time. Lastly, overload must be tailored to the client's capacity and goals. While some clients thrive on high levels of challenge, Others may require a more gradual approach to avoid feeling overwhelmed. For example, a client with chronic fatigue may need shorter sessions with lower thresholds initially, allowing their brain to adapt sustainably. By calibrating the level of challenge to the client's abilities, therapists can maximize the benefits of neurofeedback while minimizing the risk of setbacks. Progression. The principle of progression in neurofeedback builds on the concept of overload by emphasizing the need for systematic and incremental increases in difficulty. Without progression, clients may plateau, ceasing to experience improvements in their self-regulation abilities. Progression ensures that clients are continuously challenged to refine their skills and achieve higher performance levels. For instance, a client who has successfully increased alpha activity during relaxation tasks might progress to training that combines alpha enhancement with maintaining focus under stress. This stepwise approach keeps clients engaged and fosters ongoing growth. Progression also requires therapists to monitor and adjust training protocols in response to the client's evolving needs. As clients gain mastery, their brainwave activity may stabilize, necessitating changes to thresholds, reinforcement settings, or task complexity. For example, a client initially rewarded for maintaining a 70% success rate may need the threshold adjusted to 80% as their performance improves. These incremental changes ensure that the training remains appropriately challenging and prevents stagnation. Another aspect of progression involves preparing clients for the real-world application of their skills. Neurofeedback training usually begins in a controlled office environment, but clients must eventually transfer these skills to everyday situations. This might involve transitioning from continuous feedback during sessions to intermittent feedback or transfer trials, where clients practice self-regulation without immediate reinforcement. These strategies help clients build confidence and independence, ensuring that the benefits of neurofeedback extend beyond the clinic. Finally, progression reinforces the client's sense of accomplishment and motivation. Each new difficulty level represents a milestone in their journey, providing tangible evidence of their growth. Celebrating these achievements, whether through verbal encouragement or visual progress charts, strengthens the client's belief in their ability to succeed. This positive reinforcement fuels their commitment to the process, creating a cycle of continued effort and improvement that drives lasting change. Operant conditioning in therapy. A review of operant conditioning. Operant conditioning is a foundational learning theory that underpins neurofeedback training. The therapist or trainer needs to educate the client about basic learning theory so that both share a common understanding of what will promote maximally good outcomes with neurofeedback. The more the client is aligned with the trainer or therapist, the more effectively they can understand and participate in neurofeedback. When the trainer or therapist utilizes their skills to establish a positive therapeutic relationship, the client will be more receptive to learning about and applying the operant conditioning methods necessary for neurofeedback success, rather than viewing operant conditioning as an anxiety-provoking method of behavior control. Operant conditioning involves modifying observable behaviors by manipulating consequences, reinforcing desired behaviors, or discouraging undesired ones. In neurofeedback, the behavior of interest involves EEG activity, which is observable through neurofeedback technology. Operant principles are applied to train clients to self-regulate their brainwave activity by associating specific neural states with positive or negative outcomes. For example, a client with ADHD might be rewarded with a movie playing smoothly on a screen when they increase low beta activity and suppress theta waves. This process encourages the client's brain to adopt the desired neural patterns over time, promoting behavioral and emotional regulation. The distinction between operant conditioning and classical conditioning is particularly relevant in the context of neurofeedback. While classical conditioning associates involuntary responses with specific stimuli, e.g., salivating at the sound of a bell, operant conditioning focuses on voluntary actions and their consequences. In neurofeedback, the voluntary action is the client's ability to influence their brainwave activity through focus, relaxation, or other cognitive strategies. Reinforcement, provided through visual, auditory, or tactile feedback, strengthens these voluntary actions, improving self-regulation skills. Operant conditioning and neurofeedback is context-dependent in its initial stages, with the office environment and specific cues playing a crucial role in setting the occasion for desirable EEG behavior to occur, allowing it to be reinforced. Discriminative stimuli, such as the feedback screen, signal when a particular behavior will be rewarded. For instance, initiating the operation of the software after electrodes have been applied serves as a discriminative stimulus, signaling that a calming animation will only play when the client maintains a specific alpha to theta ratio, thereby reinforcing the connection between the neural state and the reward. This situational specificity ensures the training is targeted and effective, helping clients learn to associate their internal efforts with external outcomes. Later stages of neurofeedback may introduce additional stimuli to replace the visual feedback display, while continuing to present auditory feedback so that the new stimuli signal that reinforcement will follow the production of desirable EEG patterns. These new stimuli may then be introduced into the client's everyday environment to cue the production of the desirable EEG patterns where they are most needed. Understanding the mechanisms of operant conditioning is essential for therapists to design effective neurofeedback protocols. Reinforcement must be carefully timed to ensure clients associate their efforts with the desired outcomes. Studies have shown that reinforcement is most effective when delivered within 250 to 350 milliseconds of the desired behavior. This immediacy strengthens the neural connection between the client's efforts and the feedback, accelerating the learning process. Therapists must also recognize that reinforcement strategies may need to evolve as clients progress, transitioning from continuous reinforcement during initial stages to intermittent and delayed reinforcement to support the generalization of skills to real-world settings. The latter can be done by interspersing training segments that use a schedule of continuous immediate feedback with segments that omit feedback or provide it with a longer delay. Reinforcement and performance. Role of auditory and visual reinforcement. Auditory and visual reinforcement are central to the effectiveness of neurofeedback training, serving as immediate and tangible indicators of a client's progress. These forms of reinforcement provide a bridge between the client's internal neural activity and external feedback, allowing them to understand and shape their brainwave patterns in real time. For example, a calming tone or an engaging animation can signal that the client has achieved the desired brainwave state, reinforcing their efforts and guiding them toward further improvement. This direct feedback is essential for helping clients recognize the connection between their mental strategies and the outcomes they produce. The choice of auditory or visual feedback often depends on the client's preferences and training goals. Visual reinforcement, such as videos, graphs, or animations, is highly effective for tasks that require sustained focus and attention. For instance, a video that pauses when the client's brainwave activity deviates from the target range can encourage them to maintain concentration. Similarly, auditory reinforcement, such as tones or musical changes, is particularly useful for clients who respond more intuitively to sound. Therapists can also combine both forms of reinforcement to create a multisensory experience, enhancing the client's engagement and ability to learn. The design of auditory and visual reinforcement systems must consider the principles of timing, clarity, and relevance. Reinforcement should occur immediately following the desired behavior, typically within 250 to 350 milliseconds to strengthen the neural association. Additionally, the feedback should be clear and consistent, making it easy for the client to understand what they are being rewarded for. For example, clients practicing SMR enhancement might hear a steady tone or see a smoothly playing animation when they reach the target range. By ensuring that feedback is timely and meaningful, therapists can maximize the impact of auditory and visual reinforcement on the learning process. Finally, therapists should consider the potential for reinforcement to evolve as the client progresses. While early sessions may rely on highly engaging feedback to capture the client's attention, more advanced training might reduce the intensity of reinforcement to encourage greater reliance on internal cues. For instance, clients might transition from receiving continuous visual feedback to periodic auditory cues, promoting independence and preparing them to generalize their skills to real-world situations. This adaptability ensures that reinforcement remains effective and aligned with the client's developmental stage. Reinforcement criteria. Reinforcement in neurofeedback involves delivering feedback that encourages the repetition of desired behaviors, such as achieving a specific brainwave pattern. The criteria for reinforcement must be clearly defined and tailored to the client's needs and goals. Continuous reinforcement, where every successful attempt is immediately rewarded, is particularly useful during the early stages of training. For example, clients learning to increase SMR activity might receive auditory feedback each time their brainwave pattern meets the threshold. This consistent reinforcement helps establish the desired neural response and motivates continued effort. As clients progress, transitioning to intermittent reinforcement becomes critical. This approach, where rewards are delivered occasionally rather than on a one-for-one basis, helps clients generalize their skills to environments outside the training room. For instance, during a so-called transfer trial aimed at promoting generalization, a client might not receive feedback until the end of the session, encouraging them to rely on internal cues rather than external reinforcement. Variable reinforcement schedules, where feedback is provided after an unpredictable number of correct responses or duration of time intervals, are particularly effective in maintaining client engagement and preventing extinction, the decline of learned behavior due to the absence of reinforcement. This is most easily achieved by varying the duration of training segments and whether feedback is provided during those segments. Feedback is then either provided for that transfer trial or segment, or feedback is resumed during the next segment. The timing and frequency of reinforcement also significantly influence learning outcomes. Reinforcement should be immediate, as delays can weaken the association between the client's behavior and the reward. Additionally, therapists must balance the frequency of reinforcement to ensure it remains motivating without becoming overwhelming or counterproductive. For example, rewarding a client too frequently might reduce the impact of each reward, while infrequent rewards could lead to frustration. Adjusting the reinforcement criteria as the client's skills develop ensures that the training remains appropriately challenging and effective. Shaping is another essential technique in neurofeedback, involving the method of successive approximations to gradually refine the client's behavior. A therapist might start by reinforcing small, initial efforts that approximate the desired brainwave activity, and then progressively raise the criteria as the client improves. For instance, in alpha theta training, the therapist might initially reward any slight increase in alpha activity and later require a specific alpha to theta ratio for reinforcement. This gradual progression helps clients build their skills step by step, making the training process both manageable and rewarding. Discrimination and generalization. Discrimination in neurofeedback training teaches clients to recognize when specific behaviors or neural states will be reinforced, allowing them to make informed choices about their behavior. This involves associating specific environmental or internal cues, known as discriminative stimuli, with the delivery of feedback. For example, a client learning to reduce high beta activity might only receive reinforcement when viewing the feedback visual display or when perceiving interoceptive somatic sensations. These cues help clients understand the conditions under which their efforts will be successful, thereby enhancing their self-regulating ability. Over time, clients learn to respond to increasingly subtle cues, refining their ability to achieve and maintain desired brainwave patterns. External cues can be gradually faded or varied so that the brain can flexibly deploy its EEG activity in various situations when doing so is beneficial. Generalization complements discrimination by enabling clients to transfer the skills learned in neurofeedback to various contexts and environments. This is particularly important, as the ultimate goal of neurofeedback is to help clients apply self-regulation skills in their daily lives. For instance, a client who learns to increase alpha activity during training might later use this skill to manage stress in a busy workplace. Generalization requires therapists to gradually introduce new stimuli as challenges or stressors, such as training with background noise or under time pressure, to mimic real-world scenarios. These adjustments ensure that the client's skills remain flexible and adaptable. Balancing discrimination and generalization is critical to effective neurofeedback training. While discrimination focuses on helping clients master specific tasks, Generalization ensures these skills extend beyond the controlled training environment. For example, a client might first practice achieving a relaxed state during neurofeedback sessions and then gradually apply this skill to manage anxiety during public speaking. Therapists are crucial in guiding this process, providing feedback and support as clients transition from controlled to more dynamic settings. The generalization process often involves trial and error, requiring clients to experiment with applying their skills in different situations. Therapists can support this by encouraging clients to reflect on their experiences and identify patterns of success. For instance, clients might notice that focusing on their breathing helps them maintain alpha activity in training and daily life. By reinforcing these connections, therapists help clients build confidence and independence in their ability to self-regulate, ultimately enhancing the long-term impact of neurofeedback. Research findings. Research into operant conditioning and neurofeedback has provided valuable insights into the mechanisms and factors influencing learning and clinical outcomes. One of the earliest and most notable findings was the discovery of post-reinforcement synchronization, PRS. PRS describes the alpha-like synchrony of EEG activity in the parieto-occipital cortex that occurs after the reinforcement of an operant behavior. Originally observed by Clemente, Sturman, and Wierzbicka, 1964, PRS highlights how the brain consolidates neural learning following successful reinforcement. This phenomenon, confirmed in both human and animal studies, suggests that reinforcement promotes immediate behavioral changes and facilitates deeper neural adaptation, potentially supporting long-term skill retention and improved learning speeds. Another key area of research focuses on the timing of reinforcement and neurofeedback. Studies have consistently shown that reinforcement is most effective when delivered within 250 to 350 milliseconds of the desired behavior. This precise timing ensures that the client associates their neural efforts with the feedback, strengthening the learning connection. Delays in reinforcement can weaken the acquisition of this association, leading to slower progress and reduced engagement. For therapists, this finding highlights the importance of utilizing neurofeedback systems that provide immediate and precise feedback, particularly during the early stages of training when establishing the connection between effort and reward is crucial. The role of individual strategies in neurofeedback has also been explored extensively. Research suggests that clients often develop personalized approaches to achieving their training goals, with strategies evolving over time. For example, some clients use visualization techniques to enhance SMR activity, while others focus on physical relaxation or controlled breathing to achieve similar outcomes. Interestingly, studies indicate that clients not provided with explicit strategies often perform better than those given prescriptive instructions. This suggests that allowing clients to explore and discover their own methods can foster greater engagement and more effective learning. For therapists, this highlights the importance of creating a supportive but non-directive environment that encourages exploration and self-discovery. Additionally, research into generalization and transfer of skills in neurofeedback has shed light on the factors influencing success beyond the training environment. Findings suggest that introducing variability into training sessions, such as using different feedback modalities or incorporating mild stressors, can improve clients' ability to apply their skills in real-world settings. For instance, a client who practices alpha enhancement in a quiet training room might later train with background noise or while performing a cognitive task to simulate daily life challenges. This approach enhances the flexibility of the learned skills, ensuring that they remain effective in diverse situations. Finally, ongoing studies examine the neurobiological underpinnings of operant conditioning and neurofeedback, including how brain regions involved in reward processing, such as the basal ganglia and prefrontal cortex, contribute to learning and behavior change. These findings are helping to refine neurofeedback protocols and improve their efficacy for a wide range of conditions, from anxiety and ADHD to peak performance training. As the evidence base grows, therapists can continue to draw on these insights to optimize their practice, ensuring that clients receive the most effective and scientifically supported interventions. Discrimination and generalization. Discrimination. Discrimination in neurofeedback training refers to the process by which clients learn to identify specific cues or conditions that signal when their desired brainwave patterns will be reinforced. This is essential for developing precise self-regulation capabilities. Discriminative stimuli, such as auditory tones, visual animations, specific task requirements, or even interoceptive stimuli, inform the client when their efforts are successful. For example, a client might recognize that a video plays smoothly when they achieve a specific alpha-to-theta ratio only when observing the feedback screen. Over time, the client associates the screen or associated stimuli with the opportunity to receive external feedback if their brain produces the desired alpha-theta ratio. The training environment also influences discrimination. Factors such as the client's posture, level of focus, and even the ambient conditions can serve as contextual cues that impact their ability to achieve the desired neural state. Therapists can enhance learning by ensuring a consistent and supportive training environment. For instance, maintaining a quiet, distraction-free space allows clients to concentrate on the task, making it easier to recognize and replicate the conditions that lead to success. As clients become more adept at discrimination, therapists can introduce variability to prepare them for applying their skills in less controlled settings. A key challenge in discrimination training is helping clients transfer their skills from the training environment to real-world situations. Clients may initially rely heavily on the external cues provided during neurofeedback sessions, such as the visual or auditory feedback from the system. To promote independence, therapists can gradually reduce the reliance on these cues, encouraging clients to use internal awareness of their mental and physical states. For example, a client might practice producing breathing, muscle tension, or emotional states associated with successful brainwave patterns in the office. This internalization of cues is critical for sustaining the benefits of neurofeedback beyond the training room. Generalization. Generalization in neurofeedback refers to how clients apply the self-regulation skills they have learned during training to various real-world contexts and environments. While discrimination focuses on mastering specific tasks or conditions within the training setting, generalization ensures these skills become practical and applicable in everyday life. For example, a client who learns to reduce high beta activity during neurofeedback sessions may later use this skill to manage stress during a work presentation or while driving in heavy traffic. Generalization is a critical goal of neurofeedback as it determines the long-term efficacy and relevance of the training. Achieving generalization often requires therapists to introduce increasing levels of complexity and variability into training sessions. For instance, once a client demonstrates proficiency in reducing anxiety-related brainwave activity in a quiet setting, the therapist might add mild stressors, such as background noise or time constraints, to simulate real-world challenges. These stressors serve as new discriminative stimuli, teaching clients to apply their self-regulation skills under varying conditions. By gradually expanding the range of scenarios encountered during training, therapists help clients build the flexibility and resilience to apply their skills outside the clinical environment. Another important aspect of generalization is fostering the client's awareness of how their training impacts their daily experiences. Therapists can encourage clients to reflect on situations where they successfully used their self-regulation skills, reinforcing the connection between their efforts during neurofeedback and tangible improvements in their quality of life. For example, a client might report feeling calmer and more focused during a stressful meeting, recognizing that these changes are linked to their training in increasing SMR activity. This reflection strengthens the client's motivation and enhances their ability to identify opportunities to apply their skills. The generalization process is not always straightforward, as clients may face challenges adapting their skills to different contexts. Therapists can support this transition by providing specific guidance and encouragement. For example, a therapist may help a client develop a simple pre-performance routine to activate the brainwave patterns associated with calm focus before a presentation. Incorporating transfer trials during training sessions, where feedback is withheld until the end, can help clients rely more on their internal awareness than external reinforcement. These strategies empower clients to generalize their skills effectively, ensuring that the benefits of neurofeedback extend into all areas of their lives. Therapists can provide clients with explicit explanations and education about the reinforcement process to further enhance learning. For example, a therapist might explain that the feedback system is designed to reward specific changes in brainwave activity, helping the client understand why certain efforts are successful. Additionally, therapists can encourage clients to reflect on their experiences during training, identifying what strategies help them achieve reinforcement. This active engagement deepens the client's understanding of the process and fosters a sense of agency and motivation, essential components of successful neurofeedback training. Individualized strategies in slow cortical potential feedback. Slow cortical potential feedback represents a unique and highly individualized approach to neurofeedback, emphasizing gradual changes in membrane potentials over extended periods. Unlike protocols targeting faster brainwave frequencies, SCP feedback modulates slow potentials associated with attention, arousal, and cognitive control. Because clients often develop their strategies to achieve SCP modulation, the success of this approach depends on tailoring the training to the individual's needs and preferences. For example, one client may use visualization techniques to downregulate arousal, while another might focus on physical relaxation or breath control. Again, this is an opportunity for the trainer or therapist to utilize their skills in building a therapeutic relationship, allowing the client to participate more effectively in finding individualized ways to control their SCP. Research suggests that clients who can discover their strategies for SCP feedback often perform better than those given explicit instructions. For instance, studies have shown that participants who received SCP training without predefined strategies demonstrated greater improvements in self-regulation than those who were guided to use specific methods. This finding underscores the importance of creating an open and exploratory learning environment where clients feel empowered to experiment and discover what works best for them. Therapists can support this process by providing encouragement and feedback without imposing rigid expectations. The variability in individual strategies for SCP feedback also underscores the need for thorough assessment and adaptation throughout the training process. Clients may initially rely on external cues or trial-and-error approaches, but gradually refine their techniques as they gain experience. Therapists should monitor these shifts closely, using EEG data and client reports to identify emerging patterns and adjust the training protocol accordingly. For example, a client with consistent success with relaxation-based strategies might benefit from more challenging tasks requiring simultaneous cognitive engagement. Finally, the individualized nature of SCP feedback highlights the importance of collaboration between therapist and client. By actively involving clients in designing and evaluating their training protocols, therapists can ensure that the process remains relevant and motivating. Regular discussions about the client's experiences, challenges, and successes can provide valuable insights for refining the training approach. This collaborative dynamic enhances the effectiveness of SCP feedback and strengthens the therapeutic alliance, fostering a sense of shared commitment to achieving the client's goals. Strategies for maintaining client motivation. Maintaining client motivation is crucial to the success of neurofeedback training, as the process requires sustained effort and engagement over multiple sessions. Motivation begins with setting a collaborative and supportive tone from the very first interaction. Clients must feel that their goals are understood and valued, which can be reinforced by explaining how neurofeedback aligns with their objectives. For example, a client seeking stress reduction might be motivated by learning how neurofeedback can help them achieve a calmer state in high-pressure situations. Establishing this connection between the training and the client's aspirations fosters a sense of purpose and commitment. One effective strategy for maintaining motivation is to celebrate incremental progress. Neurofeedback often involves gradual improvements, and recognizing small milestones can help clients stay engaged. For instance, a therapist might point out that clients have successfully increased their SMR activity for longer or reduced their high beta activity more consistently. Positive reinforcement, such as verbal praise or visual progress charts, reinforces the client's sense of achievement and encourages continued effort. Therapists should also highlight how these improvements translate into real-life benefits, such as better focus at work or reduced anxiety in social settings. further motivating the client. Another key to maintaining motivation is addressing challenges and setbacks constructively. Clients may encounter periods where progress slows or becomes inconsistent, leading to frustration or self-doubt. Therapists can help by normalizing these experiences and reframing them as opportunities for growth. For example, a client struggling to maintain a specific brainwave pattern might benefit from revisiting their training goals or experimenting with new strategies. Therapists can help clients overcome obstacles and sustain their motivation by offering encouragement and problem-solving support. Finally, therapists can use reinforcement systems to maintain motivation throughout training. Adjusting the intensity and frequency of feedback based on the client's progress ensures that reinforcement remains engaging and relevant. For instance, as a client becomes more skilled, the therapist might introduce more complex tasks or challenges to keep the training interesting. Incorporating gamification elements, such as rewards for meeting specific milestones, can also enhance motivation, particularly for younger clients or those who thrive on structured goals. Therapists can help clients stay motivated and achieve their desired outcomes by creating an environment that balances challenge and support. Goal-setting frameworks and client self-efficacy. Goal-setting is a powerful tool in neurofeedback training, providing clients with a clear sense of direction and measurable benchmarks for success. Effective goal-setting frameworks begin with identifying specific, achievable objectives that align with the client's needs and aspirations. For example, a client with ADHD might set a goal to improve their ability to focus during homework sessions. In contrast, a client with anxiety might aim to reduce their physiological arousal during stressful situations. These goals should be realistic and tailored to the client's current capabilities, ensuring they feel both challenging and attainable. A well-structured goal-setting framework also incorporates short-term and long-term objectives. Short-term goals, such as maintaining a target brainwave pattern for a few seconds, provide immediate feedback and reinforce the client's sense of progress. Long-term goals, such as consistently achieving these patterns across multiple sessions, give the client a broader understanding of purpose and motivation. Therapists can use tools like progress charts or milestone trackers to visually demonstrate how short-term successes contribute to long-term achievements, reinforcing the client's belief in their ability to reach their ultimate goals. Self-efficacy, or the client's confidence in their ability to achieve their goals, plays a central role in neurofeedback training. Therapists can enhance self-efficacy by providing consistent positive reinforcement and emphasizing the client's agency in their progress. For instance, reminding clients that their improvements result from their own efforts rather than external factors empowers them to take ownership of the process. A comment such as, "Your focus and determination during today's session really made a difference," highlights the client's role in their success and builds their confidence in their ability to self-regulate. Finally, goal-setting frameworks should remain flexible and responsive to the client's needs and progress. As clients achieve their initial objectives, therapists can help them set new, more advanced goals that continue to challenge and engage them. For example, a client who has successfully reduced high beta activity in a controlled setting might work toward maintaining this state in a more dynamic environment, such as multitasking. By continuously adapting goals to reflect the client's growth, therapists ensure that the training remains relevant and meaningful, fostering sustained self-efficacy and motivation throughout the neurofeedback journey. Conclusion: clients differ in their interest and engagement in neurofeedback training. However, neurofeedback outcome is dependent to a significant extent on client interest and engagement. Using warm, empathic, and genuine therapeutic skills that demonstrate real interest in the client is a powerful way to stimulate client interest and engagement. Neurofeedback outcome also depends on the client's understanding of basic learning and behavior change principles and methods. These key principles and methods are in operant conditioning and applied behavior analysis. Fostering a good therapeutic relationship supports clients in becoming interested and engaged when learning information from domains relevant to neurofeedback success.